Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and I know it's Friday. Well, how about a little stimulus for your own individuality, but also for your children? Now, when I say stimulus, I am talking about the world of imagination. Think of the movie that just came out, Avatar, that is, to me, an expression of imagination, dynamic creativity. There's so much to it. Well, we've got a lady that is going to be with us for the next half hour. Her name is Dr. Charlotte Resnick, and she has put out a book called The Power of Your Child's Imagination. And believe me, even adults can use this. Right, Dr. Charlotte?
Absolutely.
Now, do you mind me calling you Dr. Charlotte
instead
of Dr. Resnick?
No, in fact, lots of kids call me Dr. Charlotte. And the other flip side of that title is how to transform stress and anxiety into joy and success. So that really tells you what your imagination can do.
Oh, no question about that. I think that is visible in my world's view and has been so obvious to me as far back as I can remember, because you can shift your mental modality with imagination. And imagination is far more powerful than willpower.
Yes.
It is just incredible. Let me tell my audience a little bit about you. You're an internationally recognized child educational psychologist. You are an associate clinical professor of psychology at UCLA, and you really like being out in front of people and communicating with them about the value of children, their imagination, their creativity. You know, we have so much stuff that's push a button and you've got it, where there is no stimulus for this. And I hear this often from young kids. I don't have time to sit still. I have a friend who's got a neighbor. She said, these kids are on the go all the time. They don't even have a chance to breathe. The mother's got them going in so many different directions.
That's true.
So many things. She said, this kid, when they come over to our house, they don't even want to watch television. They just want to talk.
Right, because there's so much going on out there. So
mm-hmm.
That's why I feel it's really important for kids to take a little time and balance.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell them, as much as is going on outside, there's that much and more going on inside.
Oh,
so
yes.
When they start to do their balloon breath, their the first tool, and they go inside and they connect, there's a whole world of possibility open to them.
Now, let's go right with something you brought up right off the bat, and that is balloon breath. I can think of 10 gazillion people that could use this,
yeah.
And they're not 3 years old, okay? They can use this,
well,
and I think it's wonderful. Talk about balloon breath.
I thought this
is great.
Sure. I use the concept balloon breath because it's an easy visual. When you imagine a balloon blowing up, you could actually see that picture of the balloon really fat and filled with air. And the idea is to imagine a balloon in your belly about 2 to 3 inches below your belly button. That's the center of your body. That's going to really center you. And breathe in slowly to a count of three, say, and then breathe out slowly so the balloon flattens. And that will totally change what's happening, because you'll be able to respond rather than react to what's going on. And I teach it really very, you know, very low-key, very easy, kind of do 3 balloon breaths with eyes open, 3 of them with your eyes closed, and then work, I'll kind of time them how few they could do in a minute, because everybody could find a minute, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can't
Absolutely.
Find teen or child that's going to argue that can't find a minute. So then we'll start with a minute, and then we'll and a minute sometimes seems like a really long time, which is why I start with just 3 breaths.
Mm-hmm.
But the more they practice, then they work up to 2 minutes, and then they set the stage for connecting with their inner wisdom that way.
I agree, and I think that's one of the greatest gifts any child can come to understand, first receive, know, and understand that their mind is this phenomenal tool, and their imagination can enable them to create and sometimes escape for a moment or two, just like you do with a balloon breath.
Sure.
However, it enables you to be a problem solver, and it distresses me when I look at the fact that we don't make that okay. But heck, I can remember when I was growing up saying, oh, stop your daydreaming. You're not supposed to do that.
Exactly.
Well, I love to look at clouds,
watch them
and say, oh, that's a turtle, or this is this, or that's that. No, and you talk
it
to
really,
your friends.
You know,
it's
really
wonderful.
It is very important for the kids to use their imagination and to space out. And I tell them, I'm going to teach you the space out where it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like the second tool is creating a special place where you're safe. It's like a sanctuary for you. And it could be a little respite from the struggles, from the stresses of daily life. But it's also a place where you create so you could check in and find out that information from your guides and your helpers and your
mm-hmm.
and your heart and your belly and all the other wonderful places inside that have information for you.
I was reviewing a piece of material this morning. I will be a novelist, in fact. And one of the characters in his book is a little boy named Beanie. And Beanie has his imaginative playmate. And they have regular conversations, and it's absolutely, this man is an incredible writer. He just does a phenomenal job. And I thought, we all need to understand that there is this greatness, this genius within ourselves that imagination contributes to the development of. Without
yeah.
imagination, it's like you're nothing more than a concrete block mentally.
Well, everything comes from the imagination. Even Einstein imagined, you know, what it was like to be going on the speed of light, what that felt like.
Mm-hmm.
He was coming up with his theories. And just last weekend, I was speaking to a large group of parents, and one mom of a 10-year-old girl said, you know, my daughter has imaginary friends. Is that okay?
Sure.
And I said, of course it is, because she feels she has little angels around them. And usually by 10, that feeling is gone. It usually goes by about 5 or 6. So
mm-hmm.
it was lovely that she felt connected to something that was going to help her and protect her.
Well, not only that, the mother is fortunate that she's at least not slam dunked the child, or the child
yes.
hides it.
Right.
Because the mother really is being given a gift with this child
mm-hmm.
when this child is expressing these things and sitting down and talking to him. Say, gee, this is wonderful that you have such a friend. Tell me about this friend.
Right.
And it's great when you can do that.
Yes, and I encourage kids to imagine either animal friends or wise people or wizards or anyone that's going to come and have their best interests at heart
mm-hmm.
to help them solve an issue. One little girl was terribly afraid of sleeping at night, and she thought someone was going to break in, even though they had like an alarm system. So she imagined this white dragon wrapping himself around her bed, protecting her.
Oh,
and
how
a tiger
wonderful.
At the door. And that helped her feel safe. And actually, this girl was older than you might think. She was 11.
Mm-hmm.
And she, you know, you think, well, doesn't she know it's her imagination? But she told me, look, my fear is coming from my imagination. So I have to go into that realm to fix
mm-hmm.
it.
Right. And that is a powerful step. That is a very powerful step psychologically, because that empowers the child
exactly
to
exactly.
know that they have a choice. So she created this beautiful white dragon and then this cat at the door. I think that's magical. Now, again, adults can do things like this. This
absolutely.
People forget that lots of fears that they carry within themselves come from the past.
Of course, and I always say fear, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it's a comfort to people. When I was doing a talk at a bookstore, one grandmother said, I'm going to go home and get myself a wizard. Clean things up.
I like that. I think that's great.
I was showing a slide. I have a lot of the kids' drawings over the years. And so there was one girl, one boy, had a time management wizard. So a mom said, how does that work? I want one.
No, it's wonderful.
And when I speak, I'll lead, you know, we were talking a little bit earlier about how these tools are good for adults. And when I speak to groups of either professionals or parents, I lead them through lots of different exercises and imagery so they could get a taste for themselves and they realize how meaningful it is to themselves.
Well, I think that in the world of adults, with children, I learned this many, many years ago. If you have young people, no matter what their age, they can be 3 or 4 years old, they can be 17 or 18. Mm-hmm. If you want to find out really what's going on with them, have them sit down and draw.
Yeah.
They don't have to talk. Because
right.
sometimes it's very, very difficult to talk.
Right.
And when you can use colors and you can draw things out, you can really read a lot of information. I did this with my own daughter.
Sure.
And it made me aware of some things that she was afraid of, some things that were going on. And when the environment changed, her use of colors and design and all kinds of stuff just were like night and day. I mean, it was just totally different, 180 degrees different from what it's been.
I use a lot of art therapy techniques and art with the kids, and I'm thinking of a little girl who I try to have them, okay, describe your world now. What's your life like now, and how would you like it to be? So
mm-hmm.
you get a visual into the future, and one of her first drawing of what it's like now was like all blue, and she was sad and crying. But when she drew what she'd like it to be, it was filled with more colors and flowers, you know, besides a bigger smile. So you could really see in her artwork where she's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Or another little boy who drew an ocean and there was a shark in it and he was almost going to be, you know, eaten by the shark. And I sort of said to him, gosh, can anything help you? And he goes, sure. Oh, yeah, my dad could throw me a life vest or a life raft.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is he had the resources inside, even though his drawing showed his distress, he
mm-hmm.
also had the resources inside to help himself.
What a wonderful mechanism that is. Now, let's go to a section, and this is sort of right in the beginning of your book, The Power of Your Child's Imagination. Three words. It's all improv. And I thought that that is a great lead-off. Let's talk about improvisation, because if you've known anybody who's an actor or an actress, this is what they'll say, I have to learn how to improvise. If you've gone to a public speaking class, they'll say, you have 30 seconds from the time you leave your chair till you get up to the podium. You have to put something together. You have to improvise. You
right.
have to create.
Right.
And so this is something for a lot of people. They go, I just can't do this.
I do set out very specifically information and tools and guidelines and scripts and resources and, you know, ideas for parents or professionals who's ever reading. But given that, given all that information that they put in their cap, then they need to work with their individual child and
mm-hmm.
start with what their child is interested in. So maybe you want to help your child get along better with his younger brother. Maybe he's being a bully to his younger brother. But that might not be his what he's interested in. He might want to do better in sports.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll start with the sports area, and I'll help them use their imagination to visualize like all those Olympic athletes. Remember Michael Phelps with the 8 impossible gold medals? He said when
yeah.
everyone said it couldn't be done, all it took was a little imagination. So
mm-hmm.
I'll hook them in with the sports, and then we'll move into the area, oh, how's your brother treating you? Not like, are you being a bully to your brother, but
mm-hmm.
how's your brother treating you? Oh, not so good, huh? Well, how would you like it to be? And try to have him have a picture of a more harmonious relationship with his brother, and then we can move into that. So you want to hook your child in with what they're individually interested in.
And then, again, like I said, you can overlap it into the adult world. And I really mean it. For those of you listening, I mean, you might have children, you might not, but so many of us forget the child within ourselves.
That's true.
And the child within, whether it's an actual 2-year-old to 150-year-old, I don't care. That child is always wanting to play. That child is wanting to enjoy. And so a lot of these tips that you give,
mm-hmm.
Some people might say, oh, my goodness, they're so frivolous. But you have a blast with them.
Yeah.
I just love it because there was so much. It just made me smile. I went through this and I thought, oh, this is cool. I could use this in a class. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to check in with your heart and your belly.
Right.
Whoopee. That's good. They say, excuse me, we are here for an intellectual discourse. You're going to have it, but not the way you think. You know,
exactly.
I mean, this is good. Let's talk about the heart and belly, because this is an exercise for children that they will really relate to. And adults should, too, because the fact is you're dealing with the chakra areas of the body.
Right.
And so this is something, and that's my input there. But to me, it's just a natural. Talk to us about that, the heart and belly.
Well, the heart and the belly have a lot of wisdom in itself. There's a lot of research that shows that the belly has cells in the gut lining that's similar to some of the brain cells.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's research that shows people, anecdotal records maybe, not all the cases, but many people that get heart transplants start to crave something to eat or something that their donor heart had. So you see there's some information in the heart in itself. And so I feel it's very important to connect, not only use your intellect and your mind, which of course is fabulous, but to connect it to the wisdom in your heart and in your belly, in your gut feelings, and develop that intuitive sense so you have a much fuller response. So I'll have the kids just very simply focus on their breathing, their balloon breath, and maybe put their hand in the middle of their chest at their heart level, and just focus waiting and asking the heart, what's the message today? What would you like me to know? And often when you haven't been used to this, maybe your heart's a little shy, but often you will get lots of information.
Mm-hmm.
And then the same thing with your belly. I mean, I've had a boy as young as 3 tell me his belly said to share with his friends at preschool. And sure, maybe he was, you know, maybe his mom told him that before, or maybe the teacher did, but, you know, he's integrated it, and it was
mm-hmm.
now coming from him, inside him, so it meant so much more.
Well, I think, too, this is something where a child learns to trust themselves.
Yes.
And there is this innate, having worked in the area of mind for so many years and with intuition, there's this awareness that I have that we have this inner guide. And when we're encouraged to use it, we're going to know if we're in the right place, in the right space, with the right people. And if we get warning signs, let's say you had a peer, you know, you're a little kid and you got this other kid that says, I'm just going to go over here and I'm going to smear peanut butter all over Mrs. Blah, blah, blah's seat. And the kid goes, yeah, that sounds cool. I think I'd like to do that. And then maybe that little signal inside, they go, I don't think it's such a good idea. I don't
exactly.
Think I
it's about
accept.
Listening to that little voice. And
that's
I'll ask kids
right.
all the time. That's what I'm helping them hone in and develop, their intuition, that little voice. And that little voice might come to them in the voice of an animal friend or a grandpa that died that's, you know, seems
mm-hmm.
to be speaking again, or a spelling wizard that's going to help him be confident and remember his spelling words. All kinds of ways it could come, but it's always to listen to that small voice.
Oh, I agree. You also incorporate the use of color,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was fabulous. Color is so important. It makes all the difference in the world. Tell us about how you use color for healing with children and one of your best stories.
Think about it. You know, we use color in describing emotions a lot, like green with envy or red hot anger. And so I want to use the color to a child's advantage. And I'll use it in a couple of ways. For example, one way for healing, like you just mentioned, one girl had a stomach ache and her parents were going to get divorced. And when she asked inside, what color do I need to calm my stomach ache? And she imagined the swirling rainbow. And so she breathed in the rainbow, and that kind of helped her settle down.
Mm-hmm.
So you could use it with a physical pain, and you could also use it with emotional pain. For example, there was a boy who was very angry, and his anger was red.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'll have the kids get in touch with where they keep their feelings and what colors they are. And so I was looking for the anecdote for him. So first we started out with calm colors, and that was blue for him. So he breathed in blue calmness from his shoulders where they were hanging out into
mm-hmm.
his angry red belly. And that kind of coated the belly. But then we went to love, and for him it was white in his heart. And when he breathed in white, it kind of just dissipated all the anger.
Great.
So he was really able to work with it. Or you could use it for fear and confidence. One girl was a gymnastics on a gymnastics team, and she was really afraid to perform.
Mm-hmm.
So her fear was really high. I'll often use that scale, 0 to 10, 0, none, 10 the most. And her fear was really high, probably about an 8. And her confidence was down in the 2. So confidence was green for her, and fear was black. So when she breathed in her confidence into the fear got much smaller, went all the way down to a 1, whereas confidence went all the way up to a 10.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll have them breathe that confidence not only to where the fear area is, say in the belly, but throughout her whole body, so that her confidence builds and builds, and then sometimes out of the body, imagining going past the physical body.
Mm-hmm.
And often I'll use the color for protection. So maybe whether the child is breathing out love or confidence, breathe it out, even up to 3 feet, and then put a little shell around, a little seal,
mm-hmm.
in whatever color they want. And then only good things could come in and bad things kind of bounce off. It gives them a little extra confidence to go out in the world.
And that's what they need to understand, too. And not many children are taught this. Because
no.
There's a lot of adults that are suffering, but not many children are aware that when they can learn things like this when they're young, it will overlap into their adolescence. They can use the same tools then, and as an adult, it
exactly.
will benefit them tremendously.
We'll just use different language as you grow older, probably.
That's
or if you're
right.
afraid to leave your mom or your dad going to school or going on a sleepover, you can imagine, what color would you be sending your mom love? If you're sending your mom love from your heart on a beam of light, what color is it?
Mm-hmm.
And what color does she send back to you? So you could create like a connection that could be there even when you're physically separate.
It's just wonderful what we can use. And one of the things that I find fascinating, children will be able to visualize colors. They don't have any limitations. But you can interact with adults and they say, I can't visualize it.
Oh, you know what? That's a really good point. Because you don't have to actually see it. You might just feel it or sense it.
Good point.
You don't have to see blue. You might feel or even thinking of it create some kind of image. In,
mm-hmm.
And it could be an image of feeling or sound. Like one gentleman, one dad was saying he doesn't see pictures, but he hears them. Like love is a passionate opera.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so everyone's different. So you want to respect and appreciate everyone's individual differences. But
right.
gosh, we all have 50, 80,000 thoughts a day. So those thoughts are like images in a sense, whether we hear, sense, feel them, or see them.
Right. Now, let's talk about using music, drawing, and writing. Because this, we've talked about the drawing a little bit.
A little bit.
The three go together, and it's been proven over and over and over again in studies that music, you know, if a child's involved in music and art, dance, you know, the creative aspect,
right.
their skills academically just are phenomenal. And even if they want to end up becoming a mechanic, it hones it because it allows, again, we'll go right back to that creative process, problem-solving process
mm-hmm.
that enables them to step outside the box. And this is really great. So let's talk about the benefits of the artistic expression. I was listening to some news coming in after making a business trip and coming in for the show, and by golly, I'm hearing about how this school and that school, they're going to drop the art programs, they're going to drop this. And I thought, wait a minute. Get your stuff together here, folks.
Right.
What's the matter with you people? And don't
yeah.
give me this economic nonsense either.
I know.
It's so political, it's ridiculous. But the thing is, this is vitally important.
It is. In fact, one principal bought my Climbing a Mountain of Success CD for every teacher in his school because he was so committed to it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a study, I'm amused by it, but there's a study, I think it was in France that I mentioned in my book, where someone played, the farmer played Mozart music for his cows.
Mm-hmm.
And they were happier. They gave more milk and sweeter milk. Okay.
Absolutely. They found classical music. If you play it in the background when you're studying,
yeah.
they've proven it. You are going to be far more alert and aware. It contributes to a level of subliminal learning that is absolutely marvelous. And you don't have it blasting like rock and roll. You just have it low in the background. The cows like it. You got smart cows. The cows are smarter than the people, for heaven's sake. And I compliment the farmer. He should get a blue ribbon for thinking. They did that in a mall up here in Bellevue, Washington, where they were having a horrendous time with very rambunctious teenagers. They've got so much energy, they just don't know where to put it. And so they were causing all kinds of havoc. And they were going to put on more police, and they were going to do all kinds of stuff. And somebody that had some real brain power said, no, I think we can try something. It won't cost much. Let's play classical music.
Right, right.
You know, they were gone. They weren't there.
I really find that the music helps. It's a wonderful adjunct to the imagination work and the meditation work, and it really adds a lot. And some kids don't even hear my words. They just go where the music takes them, and that's okay because it's taking them to a deep, deep, peaceful place, and that's what we want, because when they're deeply relaxed, then they can heal themselves.
I agree. You do an exercise in this book, The Power of Your Child's Imagination, How to Transform Stress and Anxiety into Joy and Success, and that is writing, journaling, and even drawing with the non-dominant hand.
I learned that from Lucia Cappuccioni. She's written at least 6 books on the subject. I find it's a wonderful technique. It really accesses that intuitive brain, that right brain. And you might want to use this with kids that are older that have a fairly decent handwriting, like from age 4th grade or 10 years and up.
Mm-hmm.
And what I do is I'll have kids just pick 2 different color markers, whatever they feel like, hold them both, you know, one in each hand, and ask a question with their dominant hand, and then just answer with their non-dominant. I'll have them breathe and calm themselves down and just see what comes out. It's another way of accessing that information. And you could write poetry that way or stories, or it's just wonderful. Like one boy said, why is there so much stress in my life? And the answer was, there's not so much stress. You put it on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And how could I get stress out of my life? You could get stress out of your life by doing your imagery, your meditation.
Mm-hmm.
So it just accesses that part. You could talk to different feelings, like speak to the anger or speak to the little girl that's hurt. There was one girl who's about 14 or 16, and she had a little six-year-old inside her crying because her parents divorced when she was 6. And she had to really, heal that little girl. And that little girl was in her heart. So the older, wiser girl could take care of her and tell her she loves her and she didn't do anything wrong. And she did that both with her visualization and with her non-dominant writing. So that gave the little girl a voice that way as well.
Now, I know we're coming close to the end of our chat today, but you have a section in this book for parents specifically. The first portion of your book is dedicated to the kids, and then you have a section for the parents because they have just absolutely incredibly stressful lives. And they, like their children, are going 10,000 miles an hour and just feel like they want to have some breathing space. And this allows an interaction that I think is just marvelous. Now, you have a website called imageryforkids.com, imageryforkids, and that's F-O-R, not the number 4, but F-O-R, forkids.com. And what are they going to find on that site?
They're going to find wonderful articles, access to my Psychology Today blog, all kinds of audio samples from my relaxation CDs associated with the book and not associated with the book. And if they order the book through the website, it'll take you to Amazon. They'll have access to like 80-plus free bonus gifts when you order that way. So it's pretty fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen. This is a must-read. And if you are a teacher, if you are involved in various aspects of working with the public and you're in front of audiences, there are so many exercises that she provides in here that would just be absolutely charming and wonderful to use, and you can use them yourself. I just think this book is power-packed with information for children, but also for we adults. It's great. The Power of Your Child's Imagination is its title, How to Transform Stress and Anxiety into Joy and Success, Dr. Charlotte Resnick. Dr. Charlotte, thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you for having me, Donna.
It has been a delight. Again, go to her website, imageryforkids.com, and then The Power of Your Child's Imagination And her last name is spelled R-E-Z-N-I-C-K. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. Getting acquainted with that child within you is going to be a real benefit. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, TTAP.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open if you'd like to call in and chat with me. Here is the toll-free worldwide telephone number to call in to, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. All I need is your first name or initial, then I'll be off and running. And then after I finish, you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. So again, 888-815-9756. If you would like to talk with me and get a free reading on the air, I'm delighted to do that with you. Also, don't forget, if you have had a paranormal experience of any kind, out of body, ghost, I don't care what it is, I am putting together a publication, or going to be presenting it to a publisher. I'm in the process of collecting 100 stories. And I've been getting a nice response from people. And if you would like to tell your story, you can send it to me via email. And that would be to Donna@DelphiInternational.com, Donna@DelphiInternational.com. And or if you wanted to type it out, send it to me in printed form. You could do it via snail mail to the Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. I'm going to be bringing up information in my newsletter regarding this as well, which will be coming out by Monday. But I do want you to know that you would need to also put your contact information in so that I will be able to reach you. I'm putting this book together because I really want people to know the variety of experiences that individuals will go through, because we all have these very unique happenings in our lives. So it's important, I think, to share it. I'll be telling a lot of my stories, but I would love to have yours. So if you would like to be included in the book, then please send that information along to me. Also, the Northwest Women's Show is coming up on the 5th, 6th, and 7th of March. My goodness, how time is flying by. I want you to know that I'm going to be appearing there. I'll be in booth 407 on March the 5th. Now, this is in Seattle, Washington. This is going into, I believe, its 19th year. This is a show for gals that's absolutely awesome. It's held at the Quest Convention Center in downtown Seattle. And on Friday, March 5th, I'm going to have six powerful speakers that are going to be from the hours of 1 to 4, going to be with me. We will be interviewing, chatting about money, how to work with it, how to deal with it in business, how to protect yourself from identity theft. The second hour is going to be about energy healing, and I've got two wonderful speakers there. And then the third is going to be about animals and how to work with animals. It is just going to be a dynamic power pack 3 hours, and it's something I've been invited to do again. Then I'm so pleased to be able to have these speakers. So that's going to be information that will be upcoming in my newsletter. And then there may be another event at the end of March that will be coming up. I've got to get information on that, find out for sure. And then also in the earlier part of April, I will be going up to Alaska. So for those of you that are in the state of Alaska that might be listening to the broadcast today, just know I will be having that posted on my website and also in my newsletter. Let's go to our first caller of the day. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
First name is Alea, and I'm calling from Hawaii.
From Hawaii. Where in Hawaii?
Kailua-Kona, the big island.
Kona. Oh, my goodness. I'm so delighted. Hawaii is one of my favorite places. I have had so many special experiences, and I'm looking forward to the day when I am going to be able to come back. But I haven't been on Kona. I'd love to. I really would just love to. I'd love to broadcast from there again the way I did before. It was just magical. Hawaii has something so special about it. It's just I don't know that I have any words to describe it. It's just absolutely phenomenal. And your history and your legends and your kahunas and the wonderful array of experiences that await anybody that go to the islands can be just absolutely life-changing. So thank you for calling in today. Let's get down to business with you, Alea. You need to have more confidence in your business sense. You are a woman that has sort of been on what I describe a lazy Susan. It's like I'm seeing you seated inside of a lazy Susan and sort of going around in circles. Now, you've not been going around in real intense circles, but you're saying, I've had enough of this. I want to get off of the lazy Susan. I don't want to have to be so concerned about other people and other situations that I keep finding myself going around in circles. I really want to be able to have the focus that I need, and I want to be able to concentrate and keep my attention in such a direction where I can accomplish what I really want to do. Now, economic independence is very important to you, although money in and of itself isn't what you desire to attain above all things else in life. That's not you. But you know that you need to have that economic independence so that you can go after a concept and idea that has been deep within your heart and your spiritual self from the time you were just a little girl. And I look at this and I want to say you need a couple of mentors. You need people that will support you, that are grounded well in experience, but whose minds are not like little Chinese food boxes where they're just, you know, encapsulated and they can never go beyond that. You need people that have the sense of vision and it can feel your purpose and what it is you want to do. But you need to be grounded once in a while because you have a tendency to get so excited that you will bulldoze your way through, which is not all bad, but it's not good because you leave a lot of debris when you bulldoze through. So you're laughing at me. Anyway, I'm seeing this bulldozer, and you're driving it, and it's like full steam ahead. I don't care what's in my way. That's it. And so consequently, you have to go back and do a cleanup job. So what you need is a team that can say, okay, Alea, you're going to use the bulldozer. That's fine. We're going to give you 50 feet. Then you stop. And you go, no, I want to go 150. They say, no, you're not. You're going to go 50 feet. And you go, okay, I'll do the 50 feet. So you do the 50 feet, and they say, okay, time for cleanup. And you go, you clean everything up. They say, okay, now you get back in there. Now you go another 50 feet. You say, I don't like this. They're going to say, no, but this is what you have to do. And you know what, Alea? You are going to get so much done. In 2 years, if you have some good mentors in 2 years, you are going to be where you want to be. Economically, spiritually, mentally, you have such a giving heart. And at the same time, there is a side of you that is so practical and down to earth, and you battle that all the time. You say, I want, you remind me of a 60s hippie. You want to have, you say, I just want to have everything free and loose and not have to worry about it. Hun, I don't care what generation you ever study in history. You're going to find you have to look at certain things with a clarity so that the dynamic, imaginative, creative, spiritual side of yourself can harmonize with the practical side of yourself so you can get things done. And you won't feel like you're being beaten to a pulp because you're having to do all this catch-up stuff because you bulldozed through. So I really am pleased for you because I think you're at an age where you're wise enough to recognize how to listen. And so I think you are in a very good positioning to get off the lazy Susan. Find out what favorite bulldozer you want to use. Have a good team with you. Trust them. They have to be people of integrity who are unafraid of going up against you because when you get strong, you are like a 10,000-ton bull in a china shop. And they have to be able to say, uh-uh, no way, you are not going to do this, and be unafraid. And then it's like you shrink down to normal size. You go, okay, that'll work out. You're going to be okay, dear. You're laughing at me again.
Well, the visuals are so entertaining.
You're one powerful woman. What question did you have for me?
Well, based on what you just said, my question is, where do I find these mentors? Are they out there circling somewhere? Do I know them? How do I go about finding them? Do I get on the bulldozer to go look for them?
Well, actually, that's not a bad idea. The truth is, I feel you know one woman. You've known her for years, and you have trusted her. You don't talk to her very often. But this concept, I don't know what the concept is. I'm not being shown. But I think it has a business orientation, and that's why you need to have some practical guidance. I think everything else you're pretty well going to be able to manifest very nicely. But I'm looking at a woman of mature years. I think she's probably in her 50s or 60s. And then I'm looking at a man, very, very gentle soul. He's so wise, and he's highly intuitive. He is very skilled with money. To look at him, the first word that would come in would be mousy, because he's not extravagant in any way. This guy knows how to tap dance with a penny. He could do a tango with a dime and make it perform any way he wanted. And this is the type of person that would look at you and, you know, would say, this is entirely possible what you want to do, but this is what you're going to have to do. And he's the one that would stand in front of the bulldozer and stop you. So you have two people. They're already in your environment. The man that might be described as mousy, and he's anything but that, he's just very quiet, very, very gracious man. I really like him. But I think he is a friend of a friend, but has an excellent background in business. And it's been, again, very, very successful.
Cool. Okay.
Excuse me?
The woman is someone that I know, but I don't see often.
Right. You've known her for a long time. But she doesn't seem to be related to you. She seems to be in some kind of a social professional kind of an environment that you've crossed paths more than once, and you have a deep regard for her, and she does not suffer fools lightly.
Gee, Donna, it sounds like you're describing yourself.
Oh, you're a doll. You're wonderful.
You don't remember me. I know you.
You do?
Yes.
Where
from Lufri's showcases in Federal Way.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Stay on the line with me. We've got to take a break. What a joy. Oh, my goodness. It's been years since I've seen you. My goodness. We'll come back and talk a little bit more with Ilea. Also, the phone number, if you want to call in, is 888-815-9756. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. I know we've got another caller waiting, but Ilea, Kona, Hawaii, oh my goodness. Now, you're the woman that is so skilled with the reading of stones. Am I remembering correctly?
You are, absolutely.
You know, Ilea, I wondered where you went, because I have spoken about you to a number of people and your wonderful, wonderful gifts. And I know I've got another caller on the line. But I am so delighted you found this show and that you've called in. This is a joy.
Well, I will check into your website and connect with you.
Please do.
Is your email address or whatever there?
Yes, it is. You can email me, donna@delphiinternational.com. Donna, D-O-N-N-A, at Delphi, D-E-L-P-H-I, international.com.
Thank you so much, and thanks for the read.
You are welcome. I wish you the very best. And you are a woman that drives a bulldozer, I know. Okay. Thank you, my friend, and do be in touch. This is a joy.
Aloha.
Aloha. This is Donna Sebo, 888-815-9756. Let's go to our next caller who's waiting on the line, been very patiently waiting. Welcome to the show, first name or initial. Where are you calling from?
Tina, calling from Arizona.
Hi, Tina. Well, both warm, sunny places, and I'm sitting here in the Pacific Northwest, and I'm looking at gray, and I'm going, please, spring, hurry up a little bit here. I need more sunshine. All right, let's go for the information, Tina, right off the bat. What I am looking at with you is tremendous challenges that are coming into the picture, but you're armed, you're ready, you're going to be able to take them on. You apparently have decided to step outside of a comfort zone that you have had on a professional level. This means that you've got to be alert, that you must be prepared to do some parrying with people, because they're going to say, are you really what you say you are? And you're going to have to say, yes, I am. So your confidence level is growing. Your confidence level is redirecting itself into a positioning where you're feeling more of a sense of authority and an awareness of clarity that you haven't had before. And so this is going to come across to people, and they're going to be receiving it. Even though they're challenging you, they will receive it well, because you are going to be better at putting across the details you need to put across. I really am pleased for you, because I think that you are in the process this year of making some big steps forward. But there's a little bit of you still in there that's sort of like wiggling jello. And you are of that mindset where you are going to say, wait a minute, when I start feeling the jello wiggle, I've got to back off for a minute, go get a drink of water, take a deep breath, you know, do something where you shift your mind into where you really want it to be and get out of the wiggling jello syndrome. Once you do that, you don't have to be concerned. And I'm seeing you then being able to enjoy a level of financial, what I'll call stability. And you're going to say, my goodness, I didn't realize that it was so easy for me to do certain things certain ways. Focus on your strengths, not on your weaknesses. And you're going to do very, very well. This is a good year for you. What question do you have for me today?
Well, I work with a group of people that we work on that on a project that I think you're seeing. And I just, there's one person there in particular I've had many conversations with, and pointing out they're wanting them to be more on the page of what the overall mission is.
Mm-hmm.
Wondering if you see that where it does come forward and it ends up being, you know, more of a teamwork effort.
Well, the challenge you have here is that this person is not in as much disagreement with you as you're perceiving. One, it has to do with the semantics of the way things are expressed. Two, this person really wants to be in a take-charge positioning. So in being part of a team, the team players each need to feel as if they are valued, number one, for what they contribute. Number two, there does have to be the establishment of who's going to be the leader. But, and if you're in that positioning, if you're the chief Indian, okay, so you're the one that's saying, this is our mission statement, this is what we've got, and this is what I'm expecting you to do. Part of the conflict you're experiencing is that that individual wants to be the chief. And that's not appropriate. So there needs to be an empowerment of that individual, not condoning what is inappropriate, but say, asking this person, all right, if you're going to be of this mindset, perhaps we're saying the same thing, but I'm using perhaps the words that are not expressing what I want to try to get across to you. You tell me what you see as the resolution to this. I want to hear from you. I want you to take some time about it, and I want you to tell me what you think is the resolution. If that is not a resolution, then what other option would you consider? Now, sometimes you have a person that says, I don't consider any of it, because they really want to have the chief Indian positioning. That being said, that's not going to be relinquished by you. Then maybe that person will have to be released. On the other hand, if that person's ideas are respected and appreciated, and you can say, we could not implement this, and I want to tell you why. We couldn't implement this at this time, but I think your concept is a worthy one. Maybe at a later date. Let's look at this, and let's review it in 2 months. But let's take and get XYZ done first. And if you can be a part of that team, I'd love it. If it's not comfortable for you, and you don't feel that this is really where you belong, then I would understand if you don't choose to be a part of the team. So, in other words, don't slam a door on the person, but don't try to placate them either. If there is a level of responsibility that needs to be fulfilled and problems that need to be solved, then invite them to be part of that problem-solving situation. You don't need to have your ego in this at all. But if this person is wanting to step up, be the chief Indian, tell everybody else what to do, that's not acceptable because this is a team environment. This is teamwork totally. That you're the overseer, that's your position. So you've got a number of components in here, and you're going to need to work with it. But this is part of what you're gaining in the way of understanding about yourself. You're perfectly capable of handling this. You're intimidated, and you don't need to be. It's okay if this person isn't happy. They don't have to be happy. What is important is, are they going to be a part of the team? If they don't want to be a part of the team, then they're going to remove themselves. And if they say, well, I can't be a part of this, say, you know what, I think it would be terribly unfair for you to be a part of something you cannot support. So I'll be happy to accept your resignation from the team. You see what I'm trying to get across to you?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, my goodness, I'm out of time. I'm sorry to do this to you, hon, but I got to go.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. I'm a Gabby Gerd. I have to watch it. This is Donna Sebo. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a magnificent weekend. And be back with me on Monday because we're going to be talking about On the Street Where You Live. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Donna Sebo here. Monday, same time, same place, right here on BBS Radio. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.